Lolita, light of my life, fire of my loins, my sin, my soul. With these haunting words, Vladimir Nabokov unleashed one of literature's most disturbing yet mesmerizing narrators upon the world. When Lolita appeared in 1958, after being rejected by 5 publishers fearing obscenity charges, it sold 100,000 copies in just 3 weeks. What makes this novel's enduring impact so remarkable is that it accomplishes something seemingly impossible. It makes readers empathize with a monster while never letting us forget his monstrosity. Through Humbert Humbert's seductive, elegant prose, we're forced to confront uncomfortable questions about beauty, desire, manipulation, and the nature of evil. The novel's brilliance lies not in glorifying depravity, but in exposing how eloquence can disguise cruelty, how beautiful words can mask ugly deeds. The protagonist, whose chosen pseudonym signals his unreliability, constructs an elaborate psychological framework to justify his inappropriate fixation on young adolescents. He attributes his arrested development to childhood trauma, the loss of a young love named Annabelle Lee to illness, which he claims shaped his future behavioral patterns. Most concerning is his tendency to reframe deviant impulses as aesthetic appreciation, positioning himself as a cultural sophisticate rather than acknowledging his true nature. This self-deception both creates emotional distance from and enables his inappropriate conduct. Upon encountering 12-year-old Dolores, he describes experiencing a psychological regression spanning decades. His calculated manipulation includes entering into marriage with Dolores' mother, Charlotte, solely to maintain proximity to the daughter. When Charlotte uncovers evidence of his true intentions and attempts to flee, a tragic accident removes her from the narrative, eliminating the final protective barrier. His true nature becomes evident when retrieving Dolores from summer camp under false pretenses regarding her mother's condition. At a hotel, he attempts chemical incapacitation, though this fails. The following morning, Dolores, who had experienced inappropriate encounters at camp, initiates contact. Only afterward does he reveal the truth about her mother's fate. This calculated sequence demonstrates how he exploits every advantage, authority, guardianship, intellect, and her isolation to maintain control. The rewrite maintains all key plot points and psychological insights while using more clinical language appropriate for educational discussion and audio presentation. For a year, Humbert takes Lolita on an extended road trip across America, transforming the symbol of American freedom into a mobile prison. He threatens her with reform school and uses promises of attractions as a shaping and sustaining purpose to control her. Their journey becomes a grotesque parody of the American family vacation. Humbert remains oblivious to Lolita's suffering, noting her frequent crying but focusing solely on his desires. He describes their intimate moments with disturbing candor, noting how she remains utterly indifferent to his ecstasy, often reading comics during their encounters, as if it were something she had sat upon. Eventually, Humbert settles in Beardsley, posing as a widowed father while teaching French literature. Lolita begins attending school, creating tensions as she seeks social connections. Ironically, the school's headmistress worries that Lolita is morbidly uninterested in sexual matters and encourages Humbert to allow his daughter more normal teenage experiences. In Beardsley, Humbert's possessiveness intensifies. He creates elaborate rules about Lolita's activities, reluctantly allowing her to join a school play while forbidding unsupervised interactions with boys. Lolita learns to monetize Humbert's obsession, charging him for sexual favors, but remains fundamentally trapped. When she falls ill, Humbert describes the exquisite calorosity of embracing his feverish nymph, showing how her illness becomes another opportunity for exploitation. The Beardsley period ends when Lolita convinces Humbert to take another road trip. During this journey, he grows paranoid about being followed by a mysterious man. When Lolita falls ill and is hospitalized, she escapes with this figure, leaving Humbert devastated. For 3 years, he searches obsessively, tracking clues in hotel registers across America. The mystery man leaves taunting pseudonyms revealing his cultured background. This section exposes Humbert's distorted perspective. He sees himself as the victim rather than the perpetrator, viewing Lolita's escape as liberation from abuse. The mystery creates a detective story within the larger narrative, engaging readers while distracting from the horror of Humbert's actions, mirroring how society often focuses on the drama surrounding abuse rather than victim suffering. 3 years after Lolita's escape, Humbert receives a letter from her requesting money. He tracks her to a mining town, finding her prematurely aged, married to Dick Schiller, and pregnant. This encounter forces both Humbert and the reader to confront the reality of his actions. Seeing Lolita, now Dolores Schiller, in her diminished state, Humbert recognizes the extent of his crimes. Though he still finds her beautiful, with a faint Botticellian grace, he can no longer deny that he destroyed her childhood. Lolita reveals that Claire Quilty, an avant-garde playwright who had been tracking them during their travels, was her abductor. Quilty took her to his ranch, promising Hollywood connections, but abandoned her when she refused to participate in pornographic films. When Humbert offers money and begs her to leave with him, she firmly refuses, denying him even microscopic hope. This scene forces a reckoning not just for Humbert, but for readers potentially seduced by his eloquence. Seeing Lolita as she truly is, a damaged young woman trying to build some semblance of a life, not the nymphet of his imagination, we must confront our own complicity in accepting his perspective. Having identified Quilty, Humbert drives to the playwright's mansion for revenge. The murder unfolds as a grotesque farce, with Quilty attempting to bargain while bleeding. After killing him, Humbert willingly surrenders to police. While awaiting arrest, he experiences a moment of clarity that forms the novel's moral center. Standing on a hillside, hearing children playing, he realizes that the hopelessly poignant thing was not Lolita's absence from my side, but the absence of her voice from that concord. He finally recognizes what he truly stole from Lolita, not just her body, but her childhood. This belated moral awakening doesn't redeem Humbert, but completes his arc from self-justifying predator to a man who glimpses the enormity of his crimes. The novel concludes with him addressing Lolita. "Don't let others touch you. Love your baby. And this is the only immortality you and I may share, my Lolita." Even in his final words, he cannot fully separate genuine remorse from possessive love. Lolita remains literature's most uncomfortable masterpiece, a novel of extraordinary beauty about something unforgivably ugly. By forcing us through Humbert's perspective, Nabokov shows how eloquence can seduce us into overlooking cruelty. The novel makes us experience this process firsthand, creating an ethical challenge for each reader. Haven't we all constructed narratives to justify our worst impulses? Humbert takes this universal tendency to its extreme. When he notes that Lolita had absolutely nowhere else to go, we recognize the classic tactics of abusers who create situations where victims feel they have no escape. The novel ultimately makes us recognize what matters is not the predator's thwarted desire, but the child's stolen voice. Lolita forces us to confront uncomfortable truths about manipulation and our vulnerability to beautiful language that disguises ugly realities.